Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Nick, and Tyler.
Well, we have Troy Rank, our fan Broncos insider, courtesy of Tranny Law. And definitely want to focus on football, but Troy, who is in his heart a baseball guy, dude, are you paying attention to the Cardinals-Braves game right now, an elimination game where St. Louis scored 10 runs in the first inning and lead the Braves 13-0? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was, I mean, I saw Rick Ankiel melt down. You know, you hated to see it where he couldn't find the strike zone in a Cardinals playoff game years ago. I've never seen a team, you know, an elimination get down 10-0 in the first. I mean, the kid, Volpe, he was really good last year, went down to the minors this year. They're 8-1 in his last 9 starts, but there was concern because, you know, when he gets down, bad body language, gets, you know, he's hard on himself, and he could not throw strikes. Oh, my God.
Painful.
That's going to be a hard one to live down in the rest of his career because you only get so many elimination games to pitch. I thought they messed up in how they set up the rotation anyway, but 10-0. Oh, my
word.
Dude,
check it out. I mean, it was a third of an inning, three hits, three walks, no strikeouts.
Unbelievable.
6 earned runs. Dude.
I saw on Twitter yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Troy, I saw on Twitter yesterday, so it has to be true. But I saw that some dude took out $1 million loan to bet on St. Louis. And I'm wondering if that was you.
Yeah, I wish. I had a couple people text me today and ask me, and I said I don't trust the starter for the Braves in this moment, but they're at home, and so you always give a team a slight nod in the home game, and the Cardinals are rolling out a young guy as well, but, I mean, wow.
Wow.
Talk about taking the air out of the balloon.
By the way, we're all rooting for the Nationals to beat the L.A. Dodgers tonight in another elimination game. Can I get an amen on that?
Can I get
a hallelujah on
amen,
that,
hallelujah.
Because there's nothing more fun than watching a 106-win regular season team like the Dodgers lose in the playoffs, Troy. I hate the Dodgers.
Yeah, that would be spilling ragu on the Picasso.
Troy,
coming to and out in the first round. Oh, boy. How would that taste?
All right, to the Broncos. Here's what Joe Flacco said about what went wrong in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely look at the film and see. I mean, it's just little things here and there that are hurting us, and it kind of goes back to the first couple games, and, you know, a lot of what it's been this whole year is just us hurting ourselves and doing things that don't really make sense.
You know, today I heard a lot of sort of not looking forward to the Titans, Troy, but still sort of reflecting on the past and trying to get a hold of themselves in terms of what this team's all about. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. Some of the questions, it's just so weird because you don't have access to some of these players until several days after a game. So questions in a media post-game aren't asked because it's more of a reactionary. So Wednesday, you're still asking questions about the previous game. So sometimes the context is a little skewed. But the reality is they're still trying to figure out their identity offensively. I think, as Tyler knows from this offense, they want to be a running team. I mean, the Niners are running, 38 times a game, like the most since 1969. The Broncos are running it right at 27 times. They want to be a running team. And they're trying to figure out their identity. They used heavy personnel, I think, like 40% of the time. And you notice when they do that, then it opens up the tight end. The Titans are vulnerable against tight ends in pass coverage. So I think that would be the recipe for success, is just try to, you know, win ugly, grind it out, and then look for seam routes with the tight end. And obviously, Courtland Emanuel will be involved somehow. But they want to be a running team. It's very clear to me that's what their identity ultimately is going to be if this season's successful.
Troy, Kareem Jackson's been a linchpin for this defense so far this season, and he's had some issues with soft tissue injuries. How is the team managing those soft tissue injuries?
Yeah, I mean, they're taking a cautious approach with it, Nick. He was limited today, and there's nothing that would keep him out of the game. Part of it, I mean, you guys could speak to it because you've done this, but Tyler grew up in altitude, but having covered professional sports at altitude, guys deal with these injuries if they don't stay hydrated like crazy. I mean, if they, especially guys who've grown up in humidity, they just don't appreciate how dry the climate is here, and they end up running into injuries. You're like, well, how could you get a hamstring? You weren't training. They are, but you really have to hydrate at altitude. And because in baseball, guys, you know, they strain obliques and pull hammies all the time when they come in for a four-game series. So, but they're managing it cautiously because he was their best player on the field on Sunday. He gives them an edge. He gives them swagger, and they need him because Devontae Harris is right now the leader to start at corner. You know, so you need all the veterans you can get with Kareem Jackson and Chris Harris and Justin Simmons to protect Duke Dawson and Devontae Harris and possibly some Isaac Yiadom in there.
Troy, you know, we're getting closer to the point where you're going to have to make a decision on all these IR guys. And as you well know, you can only bring two of them back. At this point, who do you think are the most likely to come back off the IR? I'm going to count Drew Lock, so give me just one. Give me one.
Yeah, I think Lock comes back. How can he not? Just because if the season goes sideways, you've got to play him in December to see what you have.
Yeah.
If you're going to end up with a top five pick. So I agree with you. Let's put him aside that he's a lock.
Was that a pun intended?
No, it wasn't, but it ended up being. But I would think, for me, Theo Riddick would be the next in line. Now, you got Tim Patrick, and you've got, who am I missing here, the other guy, Jake Butt.
Yeah.
I don't see it with Jake right now because they just really don't. I mean, I'm rooting for him, given everything he's gone through. I just don't see how you would make it work. He's not going to come back and play special teams. And who is he going to usurp in the lineup?
I don't know. Our tight ends aren't playing great, Troy. Well, I mean, I could actually see it. I really could.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe. I mean, Noah Fant, for me, needs a bigger role as the season goes along. So I guess part of me is that the self-fulfilling prophecy for me that I want Fant to have a bigger role. So I don't know how Jake Butt would fit into that. Theo Riddick, for me, would be the guy that you could use out of the backfield as a receiver in this offense, specific to this offense. If you're kind of contending and you're closer, he makes some sense to me. If you're out of it, I don't know. I mean, he's on a one-year deal, and you're just basically eating $1 million. But what purpose would it be to play him if you're out of it when you feel like he's ready to come off? So I say Drew Lock. My next guy would be Riddick. And then I would say it's a tie between Tim Patrick and Jake Butt. But, again, things can change. I mean, where they are in the standings, I think, will also impact us.
Here's Philip Lindsay talking about growth. Philip Lindsay being a leader.
Yeah, I mean, you grow as an individual every day. So it's been a whirlwind, but it's something that, you know, it has to happen in life. You know, for me, like I said, I've been doing this my whole life, having to rebuild from the bottom to back to the top. So it's nothing new, and everybody understands it. And honestly, if you really think about it, majority of our class has had to do that. You know, Cortland was at SMU, and he finally went to a bowl game. Chubb was at NC State. He had finally went to. So we all went through pains before you go and get, you know, where you want to be and be happy and stuff. So we're digging ourselves out of a hole. We put ourselves in a hole, and we're digging ourselves out. And that's just how it goes, you know, in one game at a time.
Boy, I'm leaning towards marking this date. One of these days is when Philip Lindsay became the man here in Denver.
did Troy ask the O-line question? Who asked the O-line question?
I don't know.
No, that wasn't me. And Lindsay didn't appreciate that question.
No, he did not.
They didn't play well the first 2 weeks. Lindsay was like, "Well, I'm going to tell them you said that, so they'll be mad at you."
Here's what he.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line has been playing great. Honestly, the first game of the season, you guys are just looking at stats. You guys are not understanding different situations. We've been on the field, different situations.
Okay, all right. What's Philip Lindsay becoming here, Troy?
He is a leader. I mean, I'll never forget the story I heard when he got to see you. He's coming off a knee injury in high school. First practice, picks a fight with like the biggest guy on the team. To show, hey, I'm here. I'm not backing down from anyone. He has that type of leadership style that you gravitate toward because he's a human Red Bull. He's bouncing off the walls. He plays with energy, and he leaves it on the field. Guys respect that. He leaves it on the field. And so some guys talk about it, and then on Sunday, you know, they just don't live it out. I mean, every time he plays, it just reminds me of a guy like that won a contest and said, "You get to play in the NFL for a day." Mm. That's how he plays. I love it. I love everything about his game. There's times he's undersized, yes, but it's never for a lack of will, and it is about the team. He wants to win. Just he's not a stats guy in that way. At least I haven't seen that in him. So, yeah, he is definitely emerging as a leader on this team and will be, I would think, for the next few, at least, if not several years, the next few years.
Great stuff. We appreciate it. Thank you, Troy. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Troy Wright, courtesy of Tranny Law. When we come back, Stink had some comments about our man Tyler. We'll get there.
No.
Also, an interesting story. What is proper locker room etiquette when you're celebrating and there's there are reporters in the locker room when there's champagne and beer? There was an interesting incident in Tampa. We'll get to all that coming up.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.